Hello and welcome to Peacemakers program on Radio Miraya with me, Gabriel Shadar. And as usual, we are revisiting traditional mechanisms in conflict management, and that is about the role of traditional authority in conflict management. And of course, as we are still on the topic on conflict management, especially at the grassroots level, and as we move across the country with this topic, we will be talking to our guests in Kwajok, in Warrapi State, in this respect. And for that, I have online from Kwajok, Edwin Njongo, Civil Affairs Officer with UNMISS in Kwajok Field Office. Good morning, Edwin.
Good morning, Gabriel. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and I also have Honorable Agany Luk Agany, Chairperson of the Warrapi State Conflict Resolution and Reconciliation Commission. Welcome.
Yes, good morning. Thank you so much for hosting me.
Thank you very much. Yes, in the past few years, Warrapi State has been troubled by what can be described as too many unending conflicts among the communities. Many conferences and resolutions seem to produce little progress and lasting peace. The question is about how traditional leaders have played a role in managing the conflicts at different stages or levels. So that is the focus of today's discussion on peacemakers. But let me start with Civil Affairs Officer Edwin Njongo. What has been your support to the processes as a relevant entity and unit of the peacekeeping mission?
Again, thank you very much, Gabriel, for inviting Civil Affairs Kwajok to this platform. Like you recognize, conflicts have been challenging Warrapi State across the board. Our strategies have been different. So in the past, what we have done is we have worked with local communities and especially traditional authorities whom we understand we are significant authorities to influence and inspire new path for Warrapi State. So we help build capacity for them. Case in point, we actually had a program in June of 2021, which was specifically for traditional authorities, not just building their capacity, but also monitoring and following them through to when they return to the various communities to ensure that discussions, resolutions that come out of forums like these do not end up in shelves, do not end up in heads, but they actually go to implementing what they agreed upon. And in addition to capacity building, we ensure that we do constant engagement. So we do strategic diplomacy, we meet them at their locale, and also invite them over to Kwajok, and sometimes ensure that we facilitate dialogue for them, taking them to the areas of conflict, engaging them with the disputing communities, and ensuring that, again, we obtain the most out of these. So these are some of the ways we have intervened to help mitigate or contain some of the conflicts that are troubling Warrapi State.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
And then also, this is something has to do with expectations. And in that respect, you can't provide what you cannot provide. What is your comment?
Sorry, can you say that again?
I mean, in that respect, you might have been dealing with expectations from your partners. So in peacekeeping operations, there are things that you can't provide.
Yeah, definitely. There are expectations. There are those we can do and there are those we cannot do. Mm. And when we do the ones that we certainly can accomplish, then we ensure that we go all out to implement accordingly. Mm. Again, the expectations can vary from community to community. Mm. In some parts of Warrapi State, specifically Tonj East, in addition to engaging in building capacities and facilitating dialogue, of course, the communities are challenged with humanitarian concerns, needs, flood during the rainy season, and then hunger during the dry season. So even when we engage them in the areas of developing and advancing their capacities, they complain about hunger, they complain about starvation, they complain about flood, they complain about medical needs. In the case of Gogrea West, a lot of snake bites during the rainy season. So while we're talking and engaging them in these areas, of course, these expectations are there, and they usually distract from assimilating the knowledge that we wish to impart, the wisdom that we hope to stimulate. So with this, we try to engage humanitarian partners as well to see that they can help to deliver in the areas that they can. And other expectations that are there would be road maintenance, road construction, actually, but that does not fall within the mandate of civil affairs, that does not fall within the mandate of UNMISS. So these are some realities that we deal with and juggle in the best form that we can to maximize outcomes.
Thank you, Civil Affairs Civil Affairs Officer in Kwajok, Edwin Njongwo. Let me go now to Honorable Aganye Luke Aganye. How do you look at the role of traditional leaders in these times compared to their impact in the past?
Thank you so much, Riyad Mariah, for hosting me. Yeah, that's a good question. I think the role of traditional authority or traditional mechanism of solving the conflict in Warabi State is varied from community to community. But actually, as even put it clearly, that there are some influencing people within the community. They are all there, especially their capacity is actually being, as you put it before. They are not like before, like a traditional authority of before, because traditional authority of before, their capacity was not given, but the traditional authority of the current is actually given because they receive a lot of training, a lot of expectations. So in Warabi State country, as we speak, I think that there is no report of any other casualties. The situation is normal, as good as before.
Now, the time is different between like different times when we were in the One Sudan and even when we were under the colonial powers. And I know that, I think you know that many of the traditional leadership is the product of the colonial times, those chiefs who have been appointed by the authorities of the colonial government, and then they also moved on with the new government in the Sudan after independence. And then we have our own South Sudan as a republic, in which also one can say that there was some sort of interference with traditional authority by politically appointing traditional leaders. What has been the impact of this?
Actually, you are right. The way of appointing chief now is not like before, of appointing traditional authority. When you look at it, you find that actually it involved more politics nowadays, which is not in our system before. But actually, this system has an impact on our community. And this system actually need to be discouraged, because it's not a good system of appointing chiefs. When we were in Sudan, actually, the chiefs were elected by their people and rule them. So now, when I look at it now, the traditional authority of before and the transitional authority of today, there is a great difference. There are too much politics that is involved by the elites.
So the elites are competing for power and influence in the communities at the expense of the traditional leaders?
Yes, of course, because there is, when you look at it now, there is a high competition because you want to bring X and Y so that he will listen to you.
Now,
this is what is actually happening in the communities, and politicians are actually influencing the chief. Even some chief become politicians.
So, as you are the head of the committee for reconciliation and peace in conflict resolution and commission in the state, what do the traditional leaders tell you to be their main challenges in dealing with localized conflicts?
They have a lot of challenges because our youth now are not listening to traditional authorities, like in some communities. Traditional authorities, they don't have balls to say. When they say something, the youth will not listen because there are a lot of guns in the hand of the of civilians, which actually weaken the system of the traditional authorities. Also, in some areas, when I talk to them, they don't have even access to network. When something happens in the area, they will not be able to communicate to each other. That is one of the challenges. They also have a lack of mobility. They don't have mobility to facilitate that. When they should hear something from far away, you could not be able to go there and rescue the situation as soon as possible. Also, the roads are also very poor in some areas where the conflicts are. And even in the Office of Conflict Resolution doesn't have any access to go there.
Honorable Agany, Luke Agany, as you are the chairperson of the Conflict Resolution and Reconciliation Commission in Warab, still, it seems the traditional leaders have not lost everything, especially the moral authority in speaking to people and persuading them to abide by peace. So what are some of the examples that you can remember and that have really helped you to settle the conflicts?
Yeah, actually, the moral is not totally lost. The moral is there in some communities, as I put it before. That education varies from community to community within Warab State. There are some communities that listen to their people, and there are some communities that even don't listen to their people. So here it creates a lot of gap for the reconciliation process to go ahead smoothly. So we have a lot of things actually that are hindering the process of reconciliation.
Yeah, let me move to Edwin again, the civil affairs officer. Please tell the listeners the setting that you arrange so that when the parties to any conflict, localized conflict, come together. What is the setting?
That's a very good question, Gabriel. The setting varies from community to community, from county to county, and also with the person directly concerned. So, for instance, in November of last year, we actually had a county commissioner's forum, which helped us bring chiefs from all six counties in addition to their close aides and collaborators. This was the result of conflict that had been ensuing throughout the years 2019, 2020, 2021. So we facilitated discussions, gathered information, analyzed information, and followed the recommendations of the community that there was need for a broader come together, which we facilitated in November of last year. And even before that, we had our governor's forum in September of 2021 still. And then for conflicts that are localized to particular communities, as you may well know, Tonch has been a boiling area, a major hotspot, not just across Warab State, but for South Sudan at large. So we did different approaches. We had our program, like dialogue that we facilitated in the communities as recommended, as requested by the chiefs themselves, by youth themselves, and then these targeted youth, targeted chiefs, targeted women, targeted CSOs, so that we could use a comprehensive approach to addressing the situation. In the situation between Tonch North and Tonch East, we actually facilitated dialogue between the communities in Tonch North, and that was sometime in March of 2021. And then there was another program that we facilitated in May of 2021, that both communities recommended that there was need for a neutral ground. And civil affairs, we always gather and analyze this information and honor the recommendations of the communities. So we facilitated a dialogue for them in Kwajok, which thankfully yielded significant dividends, because as we speak, Tonch North and Tonch East are experiencing great normalcy again, if we can call it that. But there have been significant reduction in number of incidents, significant reduction in number of deaths, and loss of property has also significantly reduced. By that, I mean how much property has been destroyed or used to be destroyed during the Hay conflict days. So it has significantly gotten better, and again, the community and the target group determine our intervention strategy.
Yes, keep on. We are still on Peacemakers Program on Radio Briar with me, Gabriel Shadar.
Peacemakers, discussing conflict resolution and conflict management with experts and stakeholders. Let's dialogue for peace. Peacemakers, looking for solutions.
One FM Radio Miraya, powered by the people, uniting the nation, your preferred station, the voice of peace.
Yes, welcome again to Peacemakers Program on Radio Miraya. It's me, Gabriel Shadar, and with me online is Civil Affairs Officer with UNMISS in Kwajok Field Office, Edwin Njungwo, and Honorable Aganya, Luke Aganya, Chair of the Warabi State Conflict Resolution and Reconciliation Commission. And we are still on the role of traditional authority in conflict management, although of course with the involvement of partners like UNMISS, which is a peacekeeping mission, and also the government authority represented in the peace in the Conflict Resolution and Reconciliation Commission. Honorable Agang, as we have moved from the historical background and the role and what has been affecting the role of the traditional leaders, let's look at the issues. The nature of the issues might also have varied from the past to present, but still, can you speak about the extent of the power of traditional authorities? Where does it start and ends, and where does the other partners like the government come in?
Come again?
I mean, I'm asking about where does the role of the traditional authorities end, because there are things that maybe the traditional authorities cannot do and resolve. It might be with the government and vice versa.
Okay, thank you so much. You know, traditional authority have a lot of things, like traditional authorities. Actually, they were responsible for mediation, compensation, and so forth. Now, the traditional authorities, they have a limit, as you put it. And they have also the power to make the compensations and to make a mediation sometimes. But the role of the government here is very clear. Actually, the traditional authorities in Warabi State are working according to one annul customary law, which restricts them. They know their boundaries. And I think we have also had judges, like the cases of Motra, they sometimes can be solved by judges and sometimes can be solved by the traditional authorities as related in Malalan customary law.
Mm-hmm. So where does the government role come in to reinforce?
The role of government came in when there is a resistance. People resist, the role of government come in, and also the government advise them on how to handle these cases of murder and compensation and all this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, Honorable Guy, given the facts and realities that have been taking place in Warap and in several counties in Warap, which is becoming really even a national concern, do you think the traditional authorities have really succeeded in closing the gaps and also smoothing the relations?
It was actually a national issue, but when the governor brought in, there are a lot of improvements. As I put it before, there are a lot of improvements. Only that the case of Abia is becoming a national issue. But the other issues now are not national, because I think there is no report that you have received these days that this thing is happening in Warap State only. The conflict between Dinka, Bia, and Dinka City. They are the one now having a problem at the stadium on the CDC. And in other areas, they are so peaceful. I think here the gap is closed.
Mm-hmm. So you attribute that to the role of the traditional leaders?
Come again?
You attribute this improvement to the role of the traditional leaders?
Yeah, and the state authority.
So it's kind of a shared responsibility.
Yeah, it's a shared responsibility between traditional authorities and the state government. Because without them, the state government will not do anything. Without the state government, they will not do anything.
Yes.
So I think this is a shared responsibility, because they are the one managing the grassroots level.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, Honorable Agany, as we are almost nearing the end of the discussion, people speak about sustainable peace, sustainability. That means things that are decided, resolutions that are made, need to be sustained and implemented. What are the opportunities that you see are there in keeping the promises or the resolutions so that the conflict will not erupt again, as we have been seeing over the years? Since 2010, resolutions are made, but the conflict will start again, all over again.
Yeah, thank you so much. I think there are a lot of resolutions that have been passed in Warap State, especially in the site of Greater Tunis. And there are a lot of conferences that have been conducted, as Eden put it before. We have a lot of conferences, the conference that has been conducted in Marialo, and the other one in Kwajokir, and the other one in Tul North, and the other one, and the one for Greater Tul. We have a lot of resolution that has been passed in the past, but they don't yield anything. But now as we speak, the government is strictly, and the traditional authorities are following up this resolution as the disarmament started, because disarmament was one of the resolutions that was passed in the Tun conference. So the government is very restricted now with the traditional authority to make sure that this resolution that came out from Tun conference are fully implemented, so that people will not go back to war. Right now, the state government is about to finish the disarmament with the forces that are seen on the ground now. Our civilians also are expecting the call of their communities and the government to hand over their guns blunderingly. So now we are approaching to finish the the part of the resolution that has been passed in Greater Toronto Conference.
Mm-hmm. Now,
so we are very serious.
Mm-hmm.
We will follow up the resolution, and we will also, and our team also is disseminating the resolution as we speak.
Yes, as you are speaking about disarmament, and many people have been emphasizing disarmament, but what is the meaning of disarmament when the conflict itself, the root causes of conflicts have not been addressed or have not been resolved? And people say, there is a saying that wars or conflict is start in the minds of people. So you can take the guns and put them in the barrels, but you need to take out the conflict from the minds of people so that they have peaceful minds. What is your comment?
Now, as we are disarming the civil populations of Warab, we will start also training them to disarm their mind, actually. Because we are disarming gun now. And this mind of holding gun is still with them. So after we collect all these guns, we will try to disarm their mind and engage them in agricultural activities and conduct also a professional training. So, yeah, this disarmament of CCF will be actually a successful disarmament. That has never been conducted in Warabi State. So we are also disarming their mind. Not only, we are not disarming only the weapon that they have, but we are also conducting some training.
Mm-hmm.
And we are also making some awareness through the support from our partners.
Yes. Edwin, I think the question is also relevant to you as a peace partner.
Say that again, Gideon?
I mean, the question might also be relevant to you as a peace partner, the process of reconciling and all this, the question of sustainability.
Most definitely. It can be discouraging to put in significant effort, pump in a lot of resources, both material and financial and human resources, and still face what I call a rotational conflict, where conflict shifts from turned south in 2019 to turned north and turned east in 2020, and when we are about reaping the most peace dividend, then it shifts again to switch, and we have to start all over. So most definitely, sustainability is crucial. That is why we continue to invest in the minds of the community, in the minds of the chiefs, in the minds of the youth, in the minds of women, and including our partners, the government and civil society organizations. So one thing I would like for us to recognize is that we are dealing with social change. It's not something that is tangible. We cannot see in the immediate term. Hopefully we can in the mid and long term. But I want to say that our efforts have yielded significant results, so we are encouraged. We see Greater Tonch is more quiet now. It has shifted to Twitch. We are working with our partners dealing with that, and it is our hope that we all will not relent and reap the benefits that we want out of that.
Thank you for that, and let me conclude with messages from both of you. From Honorable Agagne, Lok Agagne, as there is a promise that disarmament and also disarming the minds of people might really work. And what is your message for those who are listening and will be listening to this discussion?
Thank you so much, Governor Shada. My message to the youth of South Sudan or the youth of Warabi State is that gun is not the life alone. You can hand over your guns and go to your garden. When you don't have a gun, you will be free. Now people are still on the garden and all this. So I want to tell the youth of Warabi State to refrain from the criminal acts that they have been doing and follow what the government
Thank you. And from Edwin?
Thank you very much for the opportunity. My message is to the different target groups. I would say, first of all, a big thank you to our partner, the government of Warap State, for the great work that they have been doing thus far. I would also like to challenge our Warap State government that we have the opportunity. This is a very young government with great potential. We have the opportunity to hit that reset button and pursuing the right path as we have always discussed in our meetings, in our engagement, and in our interventions in the field. And then to traditional authorities, we have noticed that their authorities have been waning, but the good thing is that there is hope, as there are programs that are there to empower them continually, and also to ensure that communities recognize the authority of the chief. So there is hope, and we will continue to do all that we can to empower and embolden authorities, traditional authorities, to deliver. And then to the youth. Ultimately, I would like to appeal to the youth, do not be deceived. There have been accounts that politicians are influencing youth to indulge in criminal activities. It is important for youth to recognize that these politicians have had their lives and they are advancing their personal interests. So youth can also advance their own collective interests, and together it will be a harmonious community, not just for the youth, but for their families, for the politicians themselves, and we would attain that sustainable peace that we are looking for. And then to women, I would like to transmit this message, we cannot belabor this enough, that women have been a tremendous force behind our successes, behind our efforts. We plead with you to continue to doing the good work, influencing your children, influencing your husband, influencing your relatives to drop the arm, pick the right path, and at the end, peace will be the synonym that we're looking for Warap State. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Edward Njunguo, Civil Affairs Officer with ONWES Field Office in Kwajok. Thank you very much, Honorable Agany Lokagany, Chair of the Warap State Conflict Resolution and Reconciliation Commission. Thank you very much. I really learned a lot from your interaction with us on this program today on Peacemakers on Radio Miraya. All the best.
Thank you very much for having us on Radio Miraya. Keep up the good work.
My pleasure. Thank you very much. And that is the end of today's discussion on Peacemakers program on Radio Miraya. I'm Gabriel Shadar. Thanks for listening.